at powerobjects.com/Dallas. TCU, announcing the naming of the TCU Schieffer College of Communication. Areas of study include film, television, digital media, and School of Journalism and Strategic Communication. More at communication.tcu.edu.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Just 5 days from today, Dallas will mark the moment when a gunshot changed the world and a city. To commemorate the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy, KERA News launches a week-long series of recollections by North Texans called JFK Voices. First up, a 93-year-old mother who remembers watching Air Force One arrive at Love Field on November 22, 1963 in vivid color, Jackie's strawberry pink coat, the president's gleaming smile. The first couple noticed her family, too.
I'm Daphne Silwood, and I'm originally from London. My daughter was 14. My son was 5. We got to Love Field a little earlier than we needed to, which was great. And we found that there was a big area cordoned off with some kind of a Cox fence, which was done, I'm sure, because they wanted to keep Air Force One from getting rushed by people. There were so many people showed up during the hour that we stood waiting by the fence. We were so early, we went right up to the fence. I think we had some crackers with us or something, and Brad jumped around to keep warm, my son. But anyway, out came the president and Jackie. I've never forgotten how beautiful they both looked. They looked absolutely stunningly handsome and beautiful. And they both came down smiling, and they looked so youthful. They were young people in the prime of their lives, and they were happy, and it was just wonderful to see them. It uplifted everybody, and everybody was so excited. He headed straight over for us. We couldn't say a word. We were dumbfounded with delight. And we just stood there, and he came over and put his hand out and shook my hand very, very nicely. And then he put his hand over to Brad's head and said, "Where did you get those beautiful red curls?" And because Brad couldn't say a word, he was overwhelmed, you know, with excitement. And he said something to my daughter. By this time, I was struggling to get some words out, and all I could say was, "God bless you, Mr. President." I remember saying that and thought, "Oh, thank goodness I'd said something sensible." You know, I remember thinking to myself, "God bless you, Mr. President." And afterwards, I realized, you know, that was probably the last time anybody said that to him.
For more reflections, visit the JFK Voices page at keranews.org. We want to hear your stories, too, so send an email to jfk@kera.org or tweet with the hashtag JFKVoices. Italian architect Renzo Piano's in North Texas this week to sign off on a new creation and to see an old friend. He'll check tomorrow on his Piano Pavilion, the addition to the Kimball Art Museum that opens to the public later this month. And on Wednesday, Piano will stop by the Nasher Sculpture Center to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the building he designed. KERA's Chris Boyd recently talked to Piano about what it's been like to watch what he calls his baby struggle against a much taller foe.
I want to talk about the glare question at the Nasher Sculpture Center. Have you experienced that in person?
Of course. When I heard that, I immediately went there. You know, an architect is like a father or like a mother, maybe. I mean, so you care about creation. You don't make building, then forget the building. I mean, so that's a very funny story. And I don't know. I can't believe, you know, the world is... I don't want to talk too much about that. I'm sorry. I know that it's going to be solved. I have a specific feeling now that people are taking care and the problem will be solved, but it took some time.
You can hear the rest of our conversation with Renzo Piano today at noon during Think. Now, progress in the works on one of the medical field's most daunting problems, Alzheimer's disease. Research on its progression largely focuses on plaque buildup in the brain, but researchers at UT Southwestern Medical Center and Texas Health Presbyterian think they've hit on another possibility, the immune system and its role in both Alzheimer's disease and multiple sclerosis. Dr. Nancy Monson of UT Southwestern explains in this week's edition of KERA's Vital Signs.
We took a spinal fluid from patients who had Alzheimer's disease, and we looked to see if the immune system was present in their spinal fluid. And that turned out to be true. The types of immune cells that were in the spinal fluid were the same as they are in multiple sclerosis.
Does this mean a link between Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis?
There might be the same play of immune cells in both diseases. So what that means is that some of the treatments that we use for multiple sclerosis that affect the immune system might be useful in treating patients with Alzheimer's disease as well.
How did you come to find this out?
We were studying MS and the immune system. So Dr. Rong Zhang at Texas Presbyterian actually came up with the idea of calling me to see if I would be interested in looking to see if the immune system was involved in Alzheimer's disease.
The idea for that came from what?
He became interested in the immune system because one of his other things that he's working on is the role of exercise in the ability of Alzheimer's patients to improve their brain function.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had been reading a little bit about the immune system and how it might affect and improve patients who have Alzheimer's disease.
So the discovery then perhaps represents a change in how you think Alzheimer's disease progresses? Is that
definitely
it?
Because nobody really thought before that the immune system was involved in Alzheimer's disease at all. And so now that we've shown that the immune system really does have a role in that disease, it will change the way that we try and treat that disease.
Now, I understand that what the thing that's the link or that's similar is what, a massive brain inflammatory response?
Yeah, so there are...
Is that as painful as it sounds?
It could be very bad, but it could be good. We're not quite sure yet what we
what
can
is
say.
It?
The immune system does a couple of things. What it's supposed to do is it's supposed to fight bad things like viruses and bacteria and infection. But sometimes the immune system goes wrong, and instead of just fighting bad things in your body, it decides that your body itself is bad. And so in multiple sclerosis, for example, your immune system thinks your brain is actually an infection and tries to get rid of it and damages it. So we're not sure yet if the immune cells that we find in the central nervous system or the brain and spinal fluid of Alzheimer's disease patients or patients at risk to get Alzheimer's disease, if those cells are good, if they're fighting some sort of infection in that system, or if they're trying to kill off the brain itself.
Does this discovery answer questions about Alzheimer's, or does it raise more questions?
We're really at the advent of understanding what this means. This is a completely new frontier for all of us. But I think what we have answered is that the immune system does play a role in that disease. And now what we need to figure out is how we can suppress the ones that are the immune system when it's going bad in that disease, and how we can instead turn it around to use it to our advantage in being able to treat those patients.
Potentially, how far could this go?
I think we're actually going to be able to use the same kind of drugs that we use to treat MS patients. We can use those same drugs in Alzheimer's patients or patients at risk to get Alzheimer's. And hopefully that will help alleviate or slow their symptoms as they progress.
Dr. Nancy Monson is an immunologist at UT Southwestern. You can read more about Alzheimer's disease and multiple sclerosis at breakthroughs.kera.org. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sian Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, offering genomic testing that may reveal other treatment options for individual cancer patients at cancercenter.com. From the Annie E. Casey Foundation, Developing Solutions to Support Strong Families and Communities for America's Children, at aecf.org. And from Unisys Corporation, maker of Unisys Stealth Cybersecurity Software. You can't hack what you can't see. Learn more at unisys.com/stealth. This is NPR.
Support for KERA comes from you, our members, and from Baird, a financial advisor to families, businesses, and communities since 1919. Information available at rwbairdtexas.com. Robert W. Baird & Company, member SIPC. The Dallas Theater Center, bringing a new music and special effects-filled production of Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol, to the Wiley Theater for the first time. Tickets available now at dallastheatercenter.com.